Well, this morning I'm going to encourage you to open your Bibles or open your apps to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In a wee moment we're going to read from there. So just as folks find 2 Chronicles chapter 20, can I just say to folks that are listening in on the recording, if you would normally be with us, but you're listening to this on the recording, we particularly want to say that we love you, that we support you, and that we are there for you. And that as a pastoral team this week, we will be getting together to work out just the best ways for us to be able to facilitate worship in various different places if it's not possible for us to meet together. But please know, if you're listening to this online, that we do love you and we are praying very much for you, as we know that you'll be praying for us. So there's some important things for us as God's people to affirm this morning as we get into 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Whether we affirm these things in the light of all that's happening in our nation, or whether we affirm these things in the light of what's happening in our own personal lives, we do so. And we affirm some important things that we can so easily just get lost as our minds are filled with all that's going on. We say that our God is good. We say that our God is in control of all things. Our God is mighty. Our God hears our prayers. Our God has throughout the ages responded to his people's prayers in sustaining, saving, and delivering them. Our God is so greatly concerned for humanity that he is the one who repeatedly says, "Do not be afraid." And recognizing that suffering and death are things that humanity is naturally and understandably afraid of, we remember that our God is the God who shows us the depth of his love towards us by suffering and dying himself. We remember these things. And so with those things said, let us read and pray. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Maonites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar." Then Jehoshaphat was afraid, and set his face to seek the Lord, and proclaiming a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in this assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house,' and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, Will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley east of the wilderness of Jerul. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. Heavenly Father, as we gather with your word open in front of us, would you show us that your word is life and that your word is good? And would you speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. For the Christian, every single day is a day to trust Jesus. Every single day is a day to trust and follow Jesus. When we wake up in the morning, when we rise, and for some of us it's before coffee or after coffee, but you know, when we rise and have our first sane thought of the morning, that thought is a thought that says, today is a day for me to trust and follow Jesus. And there's a sense in which that as we call together, as we gather together today, today is no different from any other day. We are to trust and follow Jesus. But yet, we also see throughout Scripture and we see throughout history that there are times when, due to the circumstances of the day, God puts that trust to the test. It's what we see in our passage here. And there's a great army has come upon the Israelite, or the Judean people, those who are in Judah. And this army is a coalition of forces. It's a mighty army. Many of the nations that surround Judah have got together in order to attack, and they are now in the land. They have crossed over, and they are now in the land, and they are not far from Jerusalem. It is a day for these people where they have to trust and follow their God.
It is a day when they have to trust and to believe in their God and in his word and in their promise and his promises to them.
And it is a day when God is going to put his people's trust to the test. And God doesn't do that in an unloving, uncaring way just because he can. That's not the actions of a good and loving God. God puts that trust to the test out of a genuine, steadfast love for those who say they are devoted to him. And he does so in a refining, in a sanctifying way. Judah's neighbors have formed this coalition. The army's invaded. And verse 3, the king of Judah was afraid. He was afraid. But the full stop does not come after the word afraid. It does not say Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly. It does not say Jehoshaphat was afraid, full stop. It says Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord. That's what he did. What lies behind that fear? What lies behind the fear that the king has? Well, take a look at verse 12. The king, as he prays, he says, "We are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us." Isn't that the natural response to human beings feeling powerless? It is to feel afraid. When something becomes out of our control, when something is beyond our ability, when something is too great, it seems, for us to be able to manage, our natural response is to feel afraid. The natural response to our own powerlessness is to feel afraid. But yet, it gets worse for the king, because not only is he powerless against this great horde, he's very honest to say, we don't know what to do. And in human beings, that causes even more fear. Because when we don't feel as if we have the answer, it's like we have nothing to stand on. And so the king's fear comes out of this place of weakness and powerlessness. And he is afraid of this great army. But where does that fear drive him to? Verse 4, Judah assembled. This is like Avengers assemble, you know? So the great call. Judah assembled. What did they assemble to do? If the king's afraid, you can guarantee the people are afraid, right? Army's not far away. You're all in your capital city. They gather, they assemble. What do? They seek help from the Lord. That's what they do. That's what they do. How tempting it might have been to get together and form some committees and come up with a strategy and a plan and try and work it all out. Or to assume the position of an expert that knows nothing and just to speak for the sake of speaking. They don't. They assemble to seek the Lord. That's what they do. And it is all that the people of God can do at any time. Whenever we face any kind of challenge where we find ourselves feeling powerless and weak,
The only thing that we can do is to assemble and seek the Lord. Now, for us, over the next little while, assembling might be different. But we weren't all planning to assemble in our capital city anyway. But we know that together we can seek the Lord. Wherever we find ourselves dotted around this town and the towns that surround us, we can seek the Lord together. And you notice, this wasn't just a job for some of them, verse 13. All Judah stood before the Lord. The little ones, their wives, their children, everybody is gathered there to seek God. Little children growing up, watching their fathers and their grandfathers in moments of powerlessness and weakness, responding by seeking the Lord. What kind of impact does that have in a generation of those that lived in Judah? As they're growing up, and as they were thinking back to that time when, you know, do you remember that time that great army came against us? And I was just a wee boy, but I remember how dad and mum and the grandparents and everybody was together, and we were just seeking God. How that establishes faith in youngsters. They stood together in prayer, and the king prays to God. And in verse 6, we get this great prayer as he addresses God, O Lord, the covenant God of Israel. He uses the name Yahweh. He says, we remember that you're the one who has saved us. We remember that you're the one who has redeemed us out of Israel. We remember that you're the one who gave your name to us, because you are our God and we are your people. We remember that you're the God who has promised to show us love and grace and mercy, to be compassionate towards us. O Lord, the covenant God, God of our fathers. And as he speaks those words that say, God of our fathers, are our minds not racing back to the many, many, many times over their history that God has saved them? The many, many times that God has rescued them out of great tragedy and great trial? Our God of our fathers, are you not the God in heaven? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He is the God in heaven. He is the one who is in control. He is the one who is sovereign over all things. Sovereign over all things, but yet covenantally in love with his people. And he goes on in the subsequent verses to speak of God's power and his might. And he does indeed look back on their history as to all the times that God has rescued them. And you know, as we are those who seek to pray in the midst of the situation we find ourselves in, we need to be those who are calling out to God and remembering that over generations, in Scripture and since Scripture is closed, in generations of generations, God has time and time and time again responded to the prayers of his people. God has time and time and time again moved in great power in response to the prayers of his people. We find ourselves, we are so often told, in a unique situation, and unique it is in some respects. But when we open up the pages of history, we have example after example after example after example of God moving in response to the prayers of his people in the most challenging and difficult of times. That is who our God is. And while it can feel as if everything is changing, brothers and sisters, have you checked your Bible this morning? It hasn't changed. It hasn't. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the one constant. And sometimes we say that and it doesn't necessarily carry the weight that it maybe does when it feels as if everything else is changing. And he brings it into the present. And now, behold, this great army's coming against us. And he gets to the very nub of his prayer. We are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Michael Wilcock said, all kinds of great multitudes may come against the servant of God, innumerable cares and troubles, but if they make him realize his helplessness and in turn makes him look to his Lord, they may yet be a cause for gratitude. The hardest of situations, if they cause us in our helplessness to turn to our God, may yet be a cause for gratitude. And God responds to the people's prayer. You notice in verse 9, there's a great cry of faith that despite all that's going on, the people would cry out to God in their affliction and he will hear them and he will save them. And then the Spirit of the Lord comes upon some people and they bring a word that is from God. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde. You notice, nowhere in the prayer did the people tell God they were afraid. The chronicler tells us that the king was afraid in verse 3, but in the prayer, the people don't say, God, we're afraid. But yet God knew they were afraid. He knew. And he was able to speak a word of comfort into their hearts that says, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. You see, we have a God that's in control, but we also have a God who knows every one of us by name, knows our thoughts, knows our anxieties, our fears, our worries, our concerns, knows all of that. And he doesn't speak a word of rebuke to the people that says, why on earth are you afraid? Simply says, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. How many times throughout Scripture is that little phrase accompanied with, for I am with you. For I am with you. The God that is in control of everything, but yet is with each and every single one of us when we are in Christ. And God promises that he's going to deal with this army. And in actual fact, the people themselves are not going to have to do anything. All that God commands them to do is to stand firm. So that's all you have to do. Stand firm. Still takes action and guts to stand firm when there's an army down the road. It's always easier to run.
God says to them, don't be afraid. Stand firm. Hold fast. Because he is going to move. And he promises that they will see their salvation on that day. And after God's spoken this word to them, having said, you know, don't be afraid, the people then do something that's both incredible and really odd at the same time. In only a way that, you know, that could happen in this kind of situation. They worship God in song. They decide, you know, basically the king, God said, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. So the king gets a band ready. It wasn't quite, you know, kind of band. Gets a band ready. Going to worship in song. Well, why do I think that's odd? Because the army haven't been defeated yet. The army are still just a few miles down the road. The army are still strategizing and planning. They're getting ready to take the city. And the king says, let's stand and sing. Isn't that odd? I understand them singing praise after the army's been defeated. That would make sense. But here they are, before the army has even been defeated, and their confidence is so great in the Lord that they stand and they sing. It's wonderful. And they sing, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. You know, these people, thousands of years ago, belonged to the family of our God. They knew that God heard them. They knew that God had promised to save them. And even though the army's just down the road, the confidence that they had in God caused them to sing out praise to him. Not because the circumstances have changed, not because everything's hunky-dory now, but because they have sought the Lord, they have fixed their eyes upon him, and when we fix our eyes upon God and him in all of his greatness and all of his majesty, the situation that we find ourselves in hasn't changed, but yet our hearts have changed, and so our response is to overflow in praise to God. Isn't it wonderful? And so for us, we know that we are those who, with Paul, would say we are just so aware of our weakness and our helplessness. But yet, what was it that God said to Paul? My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. We are those who have been justified by faith. We have peace with God. And through him, our Lord Jesus Christ, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of glory. And more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love, brothers and sisters, has been poured into your heart and into mine. We are those who would say with Paul that I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory but is to be revealed in Christ Jesus. And we would be those who would say that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we are those who can sing. And in these times, we are those who will sing just now. We're going to stand, we're going to invite the band to come. We're going to stand and we're going to sing together as God's people.